Hello and welcome to the Game House College Sports Show. I am Joe. With me is Kyle, as always. We are here to recap a fantastic week one of the college football season and then preview week two of college football. There's more good games coming up. There was a lot of good games this weekend. Kyle, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's been another good week of college football. I guess the first official week, but it was a great first week.
Yeah, there was plenty of good games. It started off early, too. We had Pitt versus West Virginia in the first game of the first big game of the year. The Backyard Brawl returned after a hiatus. And it was the largest attended sporting event in the city of Pittsburgh history. Great game. Came down to the wire. What really sealed the game here was Bryce Ford Wheaton had a pass go through his hands and picked off and returned for a touchdown by Pittsburgh late in the game. It's tough to really fault a guy like that who had such a good game otherwise. I mean, he had two touchdowns, 90 yards. He was a matchup problem as a bigger receiver, and that just kind of really changed the game around. But it was a really good high-scoring game to get going, and really, I mean, that's we need rivalries in college football, and that was great.
It was good to bring that one back. I'll be honest, I only tuned into that after about 49 minutes, about. So I only saw the last fourth quarter, like the last few drives. But yeah, like you said, Fort Wheaton, hey, he had a great, great game. And that one mistake kind of, you know, that's what we all remember him by, which kind of sucks. I think I texted you or maybe the group chat or whatever. I was kind of bragging a little bit because I had West Virginia in this game. They still covered, you know, yeah, whatever. But, that sucks for JT Daniels a little bit because it's not his interception. But, you know, it's still his loss, I guess. His team still loses. I thought West Virginia played really well, especially for breaking in a new quarterback against a team that went to a New Year's Six Bowl last year. They returned, obviously, not all of that team, but they returned some of it. I thought they did well. It's not, you know, over-reflecting on either team. Like, West Virginia, I think, actually has a bright future this year. Pittsburgh, good to, you know, turn around after losing a lot of draft picks last year.
Yeah, I think it was important for them, too, because they play Tennessee. We're going to pick that game here in a little bit, but that's two tough games to start your season. That needs to be something people, like, you know, say, hey, that's give them credit for scheduling.
Yeah.
All right, the next game, not so close. Georgia demolished Oregon. Kyle, we talked about this one in the last week. We previewed it, and it was something we thought that, like, hey, Georgia is really, really good, but they have a lot of new players coming in. Oregon is always pretty solid, but we found out that Bo Nix is still Bo Nix, still has the turnover, still throws balls into five defenders' faces, basically. And, you know, Georgia, their guys are ready to play. Stetson Bennett, I think, played pretty well, too, got the passing game going. But those guys who last year were kind of like more role players on the defense especially turned into really good players for them.
And that doesn't really surprise me. You know, I know they lost Dan Lanning, but Kirby Smart's always been a, you know, defensive savant. I'll be honest, I stopped watching this game once it was out of reach. So I watched about maybe 15 minutes. Bo Nix, he threw those two interceptions in the first 15 minutes. It was awful. I mean, like, he looked terrible from the jump. There's a reason he transferred from the SEC. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but I'm going to. Georgia looked amazing. I mean, like you said, that defense really rebounded after losing so many players last year. And what's funny is even before last year in the preseason, they weren't projected to be the best defense. They weren't projected to be this, like, you know, David versus Goliath every single game. And yet they were. And they're doing it again this year in game one, apparently. You know, it's a top 15 team, Oregon Ducks team. And they absolutely stifled the team. And it's a Bo Nix guy who he's literally been through the SEC. This is his fourth year now. He's been through the SEC. He knows exactly what he's looking at. He's played Georgia. This is now, I guess, his fourth time, and he still can't beat him. He still has no, you know, let's be honest, he had an awful game. So I'm going to guess Georgia still has the dudes. They still have the personnel. They're going to still be a contender to make the playoff, as they should be. I mean, they embarrassed Oregon on Saturday night.
Yeah, from the way we talked about it preseason too, I mean, Ohio State, we'll talk about their game in a little bit here. Alabama looks great. We're not going to talk about their game because they killed Utah State, but those two teams look like they're probably college football playoff favorites. Georgia's, I think, in that category now, too, after that dominating performance over a solid team. And it might be we just need to figure out the fourth team, whether that's whoever comes out of the ACC or the Pac-12 or the Big 12. Who knows? But, yeah, that was a very, very, I guess, stepping stone performance for Georgia to get to the next one here. They get all these new guys some new experience here. We're going to go to UC in Arkansas here. Cincinnati travels down to Arkansas. A pretty good game overall. I was really impressed with Cincinnati overall as a team. They were able to stick with it. They lost their starting center for this game, which made them reshuffle the offensive line. The defense hung in really tough. I think had they maybe had a better quarterback, they may have won the game. Ben Bryant did not make the greatest throws there, and they have the highest rated recruit in Cincinnati history on the bench. That maybe he's a bust. Maybe he's just not ready. I don't know what they're going for there. I think it was good for Arkansas to get away with a win. They have the tough schedule, so at this point for them, wins are just imperative. Like, I don't want to give them style points here. They have to get ready for so many big games this year just because they challenge themselves non-conference and they have the SEC West schedule.
I was actually going to turn it over to you first because I didn't want to sound biased, but you basically said everything I was thinking. Ben Bryan didn't get the job done. I mean, you're well aware of this. I was screaming in the group chat like halfway through the game. I was like, can we please see – and Evan Prater, right?
Yep.
Can we see the backup, please? Because Ben Bryan – I'm going to admit, like, his 15 and short, his passes from there are great. Those were very good passes. They were crisp. They were dimes. He was looking at his progression. Or maybe he was just getting lucky. I don't know. But he was making those passes work and moving the offense down the field. Every single time he was asked to pass beyond 15 yards, I had it at 20 yards before. ESPN was nice enough to show me a graphic that he couldn't even hit 15. He hit three passes beyond 15 yards, two of those on the same drive, and that was one of the scoring drives. Either way, I think Cincinnati beat themselves that game. Yes, I'm a little biased, obviously. But, I mean, they missed two field goals. They turned it over pretty much in the red zone. They were 6 yards outside of it. And they also played the wrong quarterback. Or if they didn't play the wrong quarterback, they played the wrong game plan for the entire game. If this is who you have going forward, a guy that cannot hit any pass beyond 20 yards, Luke Fickell, you have got to change the game plan on offense. Or you need to find a quarterback that can run the offense you want to run, because this isn't going to work if you want to play with the big dogs. As you saw on Saturday, they couldn't beat Arkansas with that. They're not going to beat any other guys. They'll do well in the AAC, I think, but this isn't the answer. He overthrew, I think, like 10 guys, and every single time the wide receivers for UC were getting behind the coverage. So, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see if they can maybe get the New Year's Six Bowl or maybe win the AAC, but, I mean – everything else looks good is kind of the thing that makes it more frustrating, right? If you put in an Evan Prater, who probably runs better too, we haven't seen it obviously yet, but he probably runs better too, maybe opens up things that could be really big for UC moving forward. Florida and Utah. And Kyle, you know, Florida is the team that I think impressed me the most this week. And not just because they were able to upset Utah, but because Anthony Richardson, who we talked about last week, you know, he didn't earn a lot of the preseason hype he got. He earned it against Utah. He played really well. He ran the ball well. He was efficient with the ball. He didn't throw an interception. He's looking like a guy who's going to push up draft boards. He's looking like a guy that could have Florida ready to push forward in the SEC East. They've been kind of down. You know, Kentucky and Georgia have been at the top the last couple of years. Georgia mainly at the top, Kentucky behind them. But you know what I'm getting at. They could be the team that could push right behind Georgia in the SEC East now.
I agree. And, you know, we'll talk about it in a minute. But I owe an official apology to him because I didn't even mention him. And I don't know if you did either. You might have brought him up too. But I know in my SEC QB rankings from last week, I didn't mention him. He wasn't on my radar. He was, but he was on my radar in the same breath of, like, Miles Brennan was, and he quit football and shit like that. So, I don't know. Like, I you know, I was watching the Ohio State game for the most part, but every single time I looked over, Anthony Richardson was making plays happen. Yes, he didn't kill it through the air or anything, but every single – like, he murdered Utah on the ground with his legs. Yeah. And I think he is the difference between, like, why they won that game. I always compare KJ Jefferson to, like, a, as of right now, like a Dollar General, like Cam Newton kind of situation. Honestly, Anthony Richardson's kind of taking that spot now. I mean, this is a big time game against a big time top 10 opponent. I mean, they won the Pac-12 last year. They played Ohio State. They damn near beat them. And he did very well. I mean, yes, he didn't, like I just said, he didn't kill it through the air, but he was very efficient. He didn't turn the ball over. Anthony Richardson, as a very, you know, overreaction to week one, but it's against a top 10 team. He might be a quarterback to watch this year.
Yeah, and it's something that I mentioned. I did bring him up and like people have mentioned, but I honestly roasted him because I thought people had him in the top five, and like I thought that was crazy. And I'll stand by it. He didn't have the tape last year to warrant that. And anyone who says they saw this coming, like it was a lot of projection more than anything else. So I'll stand by it. But he proved to me that he can do it. And I think honestly too, it was one of those. I don't know how to make comparisons like this without people calling me crazy, but he had a lot of the same weaknesses that Josh Allen had as a college quarterback at Wyoming. Like, he had the strong arm, he had the athleticism, he didn't have the good decision-making, he didn't have the good accuracy, but Anthony Richardson has improved, much like Josh Allen has at the NFL level. They're very, I think, I would say similar players, not the same player, not the same projection, not saying Anthony Richardson's going to be the best quarterback in the league or anything like that, but just kind of how I saw it, and I was really impressed with him, and now it has us in a weird situation where we're picking Kentucky, Florida this week, and we'll get to that later.
I think the biggest tell for me, I'm sorry, I'm just going to pick up one more thing here. The reason I kind of didn't believe in him is Dan Mullen's always been told that like he's that QB savant, right? Mm-hmm. He had Fitz over at State. He had Kyle Trask brought up in Florida. And then he had AR who he benched last year. Like he didn't make him the full-time starter. So that's why I think that probably played a little bit of a part in it for me. But I'm happy to see, you know, Napier's able, he's getting full production out of AR right now. I kind of want to see this keep going. I don't want to see Florida do well. Like, you know me, I love the underdog always doing well, but like that was impressive to watch last week. And if he keeps doing that, yeah, like you said, look out, Georgia, you got a second place on your tail.
Oh yeah. If he could be that star, you're absolutely right. The next game on the list, Kyle, Houston and UTSA, before we get to the big primetime game that happened this weekend. This was a game, I think it was on CBS Sports Network, not everyone could watch. Houston was favored by a couple more points than they won by. I went to triple overtime, we had the two-point conversion thing happen, and it was close, man. Frank Harris had a great game for UTSA, Clayton Tune had a good game for Houston. This is one that I think does have, I mean, it was not one of the more followed games of the weekend, but it does have pretty big implications for New Year's Six. Houston winning that game gives them a really good first step for that. UTSA was, after winning double-digit games last year, obviously in the running for a New Year's Six Bowl this year if they played well. So very fun, entertaining game that I really only checked out like the end of the fourth quarter and the overtimes of, but two teams that I think, you know, I would say similar talent level and similar, I guess, ideas of what the season could be this year. And, I mean, watch out for UTSA, man. They're building a small dynasty down there in the Alamo Dome. They got a lot of funding. They have a nice facility. Cool stuff going on. All right. We'll move on to the next one. I know Kyle maybe didn't see that one. We're going
to
move.
I got nothing to say on that one. They look great.
Yeah, that was a great game. We'll go to the big primetime game. We have Notre Dame and Ohio State. Notre Dame, I think, played really tough. They had a really, I think, good game plan for Ohio State. They made C.J. Stroud look not quite as good as he did last year in the first half. And Ohio State was able to pull away in the second half. But honestly, I came away impressed with both teams. Like, C.J. Stroud had a rough start, came out, played well second half. He didn't have his top four receivers from last year due to injury, or they graduated and went to the NFL, whatever you want to call it. And he came back, bounced back well, and I think they needed to win a tough game. And Notre Dame, I did not expect them to keep it that close.
I didn't either. I assumed Ohio State was going to cover that. I very appreciated what Notre Dame did. I thought they looked a lot better, from their previous coach. And Ohio State, I think C.J. Stroud came out a little slow. Honestly, you know, I'm a little biased here, I guess, but I don't think they fed Trevion Henderson enough. I think his talent exceeds Williams a little bit. But I understand it's early in the season maybe. You know, Ryan Day wants to split the carries a little bit. But I think Trevion Henderson needs to get the touches a little more. C.J. Stroud, I assume he's going to figure it out. But, like, I don't know, you watched the game too. I did not think he was at the top of his game at all. But the Ohio State defense really did show up because, like you said, Notre Dame, they showed up too. And Ohio State answered the call, at least defensively, maybe not offensively. But I think those are two good teams. I don't think we're overrating either one of them.
That says something because everyone, if they get a chance to say Notre Dame's overrated, they will. We're not like that, but like they usually outperform their preseason ranking. I did think Stroud was just, you know, it's a first game with new receivers, and I think he actually completed like 91% of his passes against pressure, so I'm sure he'll get that figured out. He'll be fine.
JSN was also out for most of the game, so.
Yeah. Number one, I mean, top three receivers from last year out, and then Julian Fleming, who's like the most experienced receiver outside of those three. I mean, he was out too, so. I'm excited to see what both these teams can do down the stretch. Notre Dame especially, because I think Ohio State maybe is what we kind of expected them to be, but Notre Dame could really surprise some people. All right, the next one, Kyle, I actually didn't text this to you, so this is going to be impromptu, but we have to talk about it. I mean, Florida State LSU. I mean, I don't know how I missed that one, but yeah, Florida State gets the lead. LSU comes back, and I'm thinking like, oh, okay, this is one that they're going to pull out, and I'm going to be upset about it because – I wanted Florida State to win. I picked Florida State, and they miss an extra point, or they block an extra point. Florida State blocks an extra point at the end of the game after already blocking a field goal. This comes about because their punt returner muffed two punts, and Brian Kelly, right after the game, directly throws the kid under the bus, and that seems to be kind of a theme.
Well, that's
for him.
That's kind of Brian Kelly style, but I'm sorry, go on.
No, it was a good game. It was. This is like not a well-played football game, but this was like one of the most fun games I've ever watched in my life. It was crazy. The back and forth, the comeback by LSU, the muff punts, the block field goals, everyone memeing Brian Kelly in the first half because he was losing. This is why college football is a better product than the NFL. You are not going to get this type of game in the NFL level. I love it. I just love it. It was bad, but it was good.
You're also not going to get the same reactions. I don't think, anyway. I mean, did you see that press conference that they had today?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? They straight up called him out. I love it. I love it. I love it. No, I think this game was amazing. This was like the highlight of the weekend at the point. Like at some point anyway, because it was like, yeah, you watch all your games Saturday, you come back Sunday, you see this Sunday night, you see a blocked field goal, and to end the game on Sunday night, especially when it's a team like LSU, this was incredible. Two takeaways from this: Jaden Daniels. I thought he was good. I thought he did a very good job. He could maybe do a little better with the arm action, but like that guy can run. He's going to beat some teams in the SEC simply because he has legs. Kayshon Boutte, a little concern. Daniel should have had a touchdown in the end zone that Boutte looked away. That one sticks out in my head so much because like, that's a play that he makes I would assume 99 out of 10 times or 100 times. And for whatever reason, like Daniels put it right in his lap and he didn't get it. I don't know. I feel like there's some confusion going on with LSU right now. Maybe that's BK. Maybe that's something else. But I'm not complaining. I like seeing confusion with LSU. Yeah.
I thought that was, I don't know. We obviously talk about Brian Kelly a lot in the offseason. What is happening in LSU, every single Notre Dame fan on earth is saying, yes, we knew, we told you so. It doesn't mean he's not going to get it right. It doesn't mean that, you know, he can't make a decent team out of it. But, you know, I think it's just kind of funny how those people, even Cincinnati fans are saying the same thing, too. It's kind of funny.
Real quick, before we move on, do you think he chose the right quarterback?
I don't think so.
You think it should have been Nuss?
I think it might.
Or do you think it should have been Miles Brennan?
Maybe Miles Brennan. I don't know. So I don't think anyone can say Nussmeier just because we haven't seen enough of him. I don't think yet. But
right.
I didn't think Jaden Daniels was good at Arizona State, and I didn't.
I didn't think he was that great either, but I thought he did fine. You know, like.
I don't think I just didn't see him making too many good passes, too many full field reads, and I don't know. I think he can do better, especially if the wide receivers get on the same page, but it looks like a whole mess they're going to have to clean up.
It's weird because, like, the receivers didn't seem good, which almost makes me think that he didn't choose the right quarterback. Maybe they wanted Nuss. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just, when you have, like, a fifth-year senior, too, like Brennan, who seems like he's been there forever in a higher
career. Or Brennan, yeah, probably would have been Brennan.
But, like, I feel like the receivers would have been like, that's our guy, or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, but I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
Just a couple more notes from week one. For Power 5 conference teams, do not schedule – I mean, for our pleasure, yes, do it. But, like, do not schedule tough teams, group of five teams on the road in the early weeks of the season. We had Old Dominion beating Virginia Tech – We had ECU almost beating NC State, which Kyle, you mentioned before week one. I told you I still love NC State. That was a trap game. That was I mean, I know ECU's, that's their Super Bowl.
Devin Leary looked terrible.
He looked terrible. I mean,
he looked terrible. Looked
awful. And who was the other? Oh, North Carolina and App State. And those two, the last two were the, like, you scheduled a team that has been better than you in your own state on the road in Boone, North Carolina, which is a very, very small town. Everyone was there. It was the Super Bowl, and you almost lost that thing because your defense is so bad.
This has been driving me and my friends nuts as we keep watching it's ACC games, and, you know, most of them either take place on Saturday morning or they take place on another day because, you know, that's kind of how these ACC games work. Either way, why are North Carolina ACC teams choosing to go on the road against group of five ACC teams, not ACC teams, excuse me, group of five North Carolina teams? You've almost lost like several times, or in the case of NC State versus ECU, you have lost this game a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This was driving us crazy all day Saturday.
No, it's like one of those things. Like, okay, do what the SEC does and go schedule an FCS team. You can do it early. Even if you don't have the November FCS game like SEC does, do that.
Yeah.
We'll roast you for it. You'll win. No one will care. Or
play somebody from another state. Like, we played Troy week one. That's an Alabama bumfuck team. We don't care.
Or like, schedule these teams at home if you want to do it. If you want to be like the...
And we play them at home.
Yeah. Yes. Nice to play them at home or play someone big. If you want to, like, get notoriety for scheduling, no one's going to say... As much as it is tough to go on the road and beat these teams, everyone's going to say Ohio State playing Notre Dame is, like, at least they challenge themselves. No one's going to say, well, North Carolina went to App State, and, like, people who really follow the sport will be like, yeah, that's kind of a tough game, but it's not the same level. So go challenge yourself if you're going to do something like that.
Yeah, there are like maybe three teams that App State could schedule that would make their home environment hostile. Well, one of those is UNC. Same situation goes to ECU. There's like three teams that they could schedule that might make their home territory hostile. It's definitely going to be NC State. Might even be like South Carolina, something like that. The Old Dominion situation, I don't think you could make that stadium really hostile for anybody. It only holds like 20,000, so, you know, whatever. Virginia Tech.
Yeah, Virginia Tech. Yeah,
Virginia Tech. You should not have lost that game. That was bad.
Virginia Tech's always the team that loses. They used to schedule ECU and lose to ECU. They scheduled ODU, and they need
to start starting their season off on the right note. They keep doing this. I swear.
Well, and I think it's like some like, oh, we got to play a smaller school because it's a good thing to do, especially like in-state or like locally, like Virginia Tech, Old Dominion's kind of local. Like, no, don't do that. No, like schedule some FCS team, schedule someone good, or schedule it at home. Like, you don't need to play there.
Didn't they open up with like, who was it last year? Like Maryland or somebody? They opened up with someone big at home. UNC, that's who it was. And they won, and it was so exciting. And then they absolutely let everybody down in like the 3 weeks following. It was like, why do we ever believe in you, Virginia Tech?
Yeah.
You don't deserve this.
Well, hopefully they get turned around. It's always good when Virginia Tech's good at football with Enter Sandman going, but it's not looking great. I mean, it is Brent Pry's first game, so hopefully he turns it around. It's not all his mess, but we will see. That is the recap of week one. We are going to get to our week two picks here. And Kyle, there's actually some good games here too, and some notable ones in terms of historic programs and some in terms of some nice Power 5 teams versus Group of 5 teams that could have New Year's 6 implications. So let's just get right to it. The first game, it's a big noon Saturday. It's Alabama and Texas. This one's at Texas, and I think we know where we're going with these picks, but I don't know. I think Texas, I think you have to feel – this should be a measuring stick for you if you're Texas.
I think it is. I think it's a measuring stick. I think you kind of see what Quinn Ewers has. No chance they beat Alabama, but if you can cover, it's only a 20-point spread. While I say only, I think that benefits Alabama. I think they're going to cover. But, you know, good fun for Texas, I guess. They're back.
It's going to be a nice warm-up for winning the SEC in a couple years. I will say, too, I think Alabama wins and covers. This is something where I think maybe, again, it stays close for a half. Maybe they're beating Texas by 7 or 14 in the first half. And then again, Alabama ends up pulling away in the second half. But I think Sarkisian's knowledge of Alabama helps. Getting players from Alabama to Texas help, even though I think Julia Billingsley is ineligible for the first couple weeks of the season. And then I think that defense is a problem for Texas. I think that's what the difference is. Like, their defense is not at an SEC championship level yet, and their offense isn't proven enough to carry such a average defense at best, maybe, if they're, you know, playing someone like Alabama. All right, so that is big noon kickoff. That is where College Game Day is. That's where a lot of eyes will be for the history of things. We also have South Carolina and Arkansas. So Arkansas will have maybe a tough schedule the first 2 weeks. So we said that overall they have a tough schedule, but they go from Cincinnati to playing South Carolina.
And originally, I think I had South Carolina potentially winning this game after watching those games last week. Now, I don't think it's fair to judge it off of 1 week, but Arkansas did play Cincinnati, and I think that's a kind of a fair gauge there. They didn't look great, but I think they looked good enough to beat South Carolina. South Carolina really struggled against Georgia State, and I didn't think Spencer Rattler looked good. I think that's a little alarming for Beamer. He threw two picks. I didn't like the play call, to be honest. I thought that the play call was a little conservative. I didn't think they let Spencer air it out or kind of, you know, showcase his talent. And when he actually got a chance there in the second half, he threw two picks. So I think Arkansas. I hate doing it, you know, but I'm going to take Arkansas. You told me South Carolina did win, I wouldn't be surprised. But as of right now, I can't go against Arkansas.
Yeah, you know, I'm high on Arkansas this year, so I'm going Arkansas. South Carolina, again, I'm with you. If we would have seen Spencer Rattler maybe play a little bit better, I could have got on board if it was an upset or something. But, like, I don't think they have the firepower now to match up with Arkansas. And I think Arkansas is capable of winning nitty-gritty games. They can win some games, I think, if it's more high-scoring. But I don't know that South Carolina can make it high-scoring. So that's the tough part. Yeah.
Do you know what's crazy about this to me is, like, they did the 247 composite. South Carolina still ranks in the top 20.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, they still have all the blue chips. They still have all the talent in the world to be significantly, like, well, to be relevant in the SEC. And they just can't do it. Like, that game last week was embarrassing. You look like Missouri trying to beat some bum team. Mm-hmm. Figure it out. You have Spencer Rattler, too. He was supposed to be an NFL draft pick last year.
Yeah.
Like, South Carolina has no excuse at this point to me. Like, figure it out, do something, or you're be on your next way to getting a new coach.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously Shane Beamer, isn't it?
Yeah. Also, they play Georgia State. By the way, I think it's this week. UNC travels to play Georgia State. So UNC scheduled a road game at Appalachian State and then Georgia State after playing in week one, too, which I know was an easy game. But what. The only cool thing is it's at Turner Field because that's Georgia State's field now, former Braves Stadium. That's cool. But other than that, what are you doing?
That was my question. What is UNC doing? What is going on in the ACC that they feel the need to do this?
I don't know, but their defense is so bad. I know Georgia State is not really good. They're an okay program and everything, but they can lose.
You're right. UNC's defense is bad.
They can lose just because their defense is bad. So I don't know. The reason I bring it up is because they played at South Carolina last week.
That Phil Longo offense, though. Yeah, that'll be fine.
All right, an interesting one here, Kyle. Tennessee and Pitt. We mentioned this earlier. Pitt showed they could beat a good team in West Virginia. They have a lot of turnover from last year's roster, as you mentioned. But Tennessee is kind of the trendy pick to be number two in the SEC East before Florida's performance. So we'll see what they can do.
I'll be honest, I was shocked Pittsburgh won last week. But, you know, you and I kind of talked about that a little bit. It was kind of fluky. Mm-hmm. He dropped the pick, you know, or he dropped the catch, ended up being a pick six. And again, this is me being totally unbiased. I think it's going to be Tennessee. I think Tennessee wins this game. You know, as you know, I hate Tennessee as well, but Hendon Hooker is so good, man. Mm-hmm. And Tennessee's got the people in place to be able to be, you know, to make that next step to be, you know, second in the East, like you were saying. Hear that, or third in the East. I think Tennessee is going to be good this year. I really do. But I think this is where it starts. I think it's going to Pittsburgh and winning this game.
Yeah, I think Tennessee, and I don't think it's going to be close. I think Tennessee covers. I don't think it's going to be that close. From what I saw week one and what I saw last year, as you said, Hendon Hooker is great. Tennessee is on the cusp of making that next step. Is it going from, what, 6 or 7 wins last year to 8 or 9? Maybe. I don't know. But I do know that Pittsburgh's quarterback, Keaton Slovis, he did not play well against pressure last year. He looked like, or last week, he looked like a deer in the headlights. And I don't think that's going to be good against Tennessee, especially if Hendon Hooker's playing well. So I'm going to go Tennessee to win and cover. I hope it's a good game just for our sake of watching competitive football, but I think Pittsburgh's kind of a step up from Tennessee's a step up from Pittsburgh this year. Next one up, we have Houston and Texas Tech. This one might be interesting again because Houston has a chance at a New Year's Six Bowl after escaping with the win against UTSA. Texas Tech lost starting quarterback Tyler Shaw in the first game of the season. They have Donovan Smith, I believe, is the backup. He played really well in relief, but they didn't play anyone in the week one. This could be a high-scoring game. We got some pass-happy offenses maybe, and we'll see what happens.
I'll keep my prediction short. I'm going to go with Texas Tech because they're at home. I'll be honest, I don't know too much about either one of these teams. So, Joe, help us out here.
All right. So, as mentioned, Tyler Shaw was the transfer from Oregon who last year got injured and now is injured again. So, it's a little bit concerning if you are like a Texas Tech person or someone who thought he was going to be good in the draft. I think Texas Tech is going to win too. I think they have enough talent to overcome Houston, especially like – Houston, like UTSA is a good team, but I think Houston, if they really wanted to be a New Year's Six team this year, I think they probably should have won that in regulation and won it by at least a touchdown. I wouldn't be surprised if Houston puts up a fight or if the backup quarterback struggles for Texas Tech and maybe it's a game, but I'll take Texas Tech. I'll take the risk there. All right, we have Kentucky and Florida. Now, Kyle, I'll set the stage for this one because it's kind of crazy. So we have Florida coming off that big win, Anthony Richardson going nuts. This game is at Florida. Kentucky, who has been very, very good, maybe one of the underrated teams over the last couple of years, a couple 10-win seasons, a really physical team. But it's a mess at Kentucky right now. It's a verified mess with one of their defensive players, Jordan Wright, is out. And their starting running back, Chris Rodriguez, is pretty much out unless some hand of God comes through and clears them to play. It's not going to happen. It's for every rumor I've seen is because it's a clerical issue of like he fudged timesheets or some timesheet or paperwork error. He already served a suspension for a DUI. So this new suspension is from the university. And basically what I'm kind of getting at is that no other SEC team besides maybe Vanderbilt would ever suspend a player for like something like this. But we don't know what it is because they won't disclose it. So we have that going on. We have Kenneth Horsey, who is like an all SEC left guard, moving to left tackle this week. I traditionally, you know, think Kentucky can play with Florida these days, but I don't know. This is a lot going on for Kentucky, Kyle.
It's really frustrating. I'm not going to lie. Like, you mean the only other SEC team that would do this is Vanderbilt? That would – do you believe that, or you think there's a little something more?
I don't know. Every vibe I'm getting from is like, hey, it wasn't illegal. Hey, it wasn't like – it can't be improper benefits now, right, because – that's NIL. So, like, what's going on here? So, I don't know. Maybe it's classes. Maybe it's something like that. But the fact that they're not releasing what it is
crazy. If it's classes, it's not four games, though. That's way too much.
Yeah.
That's why I think it might be something legal, but I don't know. Like you said, he already did his DUI or whatever, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Either way, we're here to talk about the game, I guess. So, you know. I really want to go with Kentucky here. A little bit of bias, I guess, but also I love Kavassie Smoke, and I think he can pick up the slack, I guess, from Chris Rodriguez. Also, I loved what I saw from Will Levis last week. I know I was critical on him last week, you know, on the podcast, and I didn't think that, you know, he was necessarily as high as he should have been ranked. I loved his throws last week. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch it, you know, I wasn't dialed in. Maybe I should have been. I would have seen some other things, but like, when I did see passes, he was making some crisp passes. Yes, he made an interception. That wasn't good. But outside of that, he was making some good passes. Problem is, I also saw the same thing from Florida. I mean, AR, you and I talked about this early in the podcast. AR made some very good plays with his feet and with his arm and knocked off a top 10 team. So that's why I kind of want to – I mean, it's also in the swamp. Florida always has good success against Kentucky. So I'm going to go Florida on this one. Low-key kind of hoping Kentucky makes it happen, but I'm going to go with Florida.
I think if Kentucky was at full strength, I might pick Kentucky, but this is just a weird, weird situation. And again, because they're like keeping everyone in the dark about what it is, it just makes like this really weird situation. Like does the team know what's going on? Do they know who's going to be suiting up every week? Like, it seems weird. They are definitely going to play physical. I think they'll go in and play tough. End of the day though, if I think being in Florida and Anthony Richardson plays even half as good as he did against Utah, I think Florida is going to be winning and covering the 4.5-point spread. Next one up, maybe the best game of the weekend, because we maybe think that Bama and Texas is a blowout. We have Baylor and BYU. Kyle, this is big for a couple of reasons here. BYU being one of those teams that could be a New Year's Six team with the independent status. We have Baylor, who won a Big 12 championship last year. They have a new starting quarterback. They told Gary Bohannon, hey, get out of here. We're going to start Blake Shapen after Gary Bohannon won the Big 12. This is a very tough schedule for BYU this year, and Baylor's, you know, they're ready, right there, ready to go.
Yeah, with Houston kind of struggling against UTSA, Cincinnati losing their first game, and then, you know, you have a handful of the other group of fives that are going to have to go through a buzzsaw. You know, USC gets – or UCF, I mean, they have to still play UC and, you know, everything else going on. I think BYU kind of has it laid out in front of them. All they have to do, you know, they got to get by Baylor. They have Arkansas a couple weeks later. But they're both at home, which is a good thing. You know, Provo's a hard place to play. If it was another team that was like maybe, you know, another – a little more of a blue blood, you know, maybe like an Oklahoma coming in from the Big 12 or a Texas or something, maybe I'd go with them, but I'm going to stick with BYU here. I think, you know, they can get on top of Baylor here and they can get it at home. BYU looked good last week. They're favored in this game too. So I'm going to stick with, you know, go BYU, go Cougs.
All right. I'm going to go Baylor. I think Blake Shapen is actually an upgrade over Gary Bohannon. I think that's why they made the decision. Could throw the ball really well.
Oh,
limited action last year, he looked good. The defense is pretty nasty. They got some defensive line rotation. Dave Aranda brought some guys over from LSU. They got some other guys who they recruited. I think that plays a factor. Oh, BYU does have a good offensive line, but I think the depth from Baylor's defensive line can be pretty huge in this one. And the status of BYU's top two receivers is in question for this one. I should have brought this up while previewing it, Kyle, but I forgot.
Baldwin?
No, they have...
Oh, that's Baylor.
Yeah, they have Gunnar Romney and Puka Nacua. Both their statuses are in question, and Kalani Sitake did not give him like a vote of confidence. He didn't really clear up anything. So with that, you have Jaren Hall, who's a really good quarterback, a good offensive line. I don't know if they're going to be able to do a lot of damage on offense. So I'm going to go Baylor. I think BYU is also a team to watch out for. I took the under on them for the year, under 8 wins, because their schedule is so tough. They get Baylor this week, they get Oregon next week, and they play a bunch of other people down the road.
So, yeah.
All right, so the last game we'll pick, we have Oregon State and Fresno State. This is interesting because Oregon State destroyed Boise State, and we're going to have a moment of silence here because Boise State might be done in terms of college football, at least as we knew them. All right, I'm going to silence over. But, yeah, Oregon State destroyed them. And Fresno State, I mentioned it in the preseason show, Kyle. They're the New Year's Six worthy. They play Oregon State. I think they play one other Pac-12 team this year. They beat UCLA last year. They got some guys on this team.
Okay. I said this last year. I love Jake Haner. Don't get me wrong. Big fan. But Oregon State, man, I watched that game last week, Pac-12 after dark. Oregon State absolutely massacred Boise State. So either that means Boise State looks terrible or Oregon State's actually got something going on. I also saw some other, you know, read up on a little bit. Oregon State apparently has one of the better offensive lines, which is, you know, in my opinion, that's one of the central focals of, like, an offense is you have to have a good offensive line. Doesn't matter how good your running back is. You can have a good quarterback, whatever. The offensive line is, like, the nexus of everything. Oregon State has that, allegedly anyway, from what I've read. I don't know. I think the Beavers might be on the up this year. I think they beat Fresno on the road.
Okay. I'm taking Fresno. They were a team, I talked about in the preseason thing. Jake Haner, Jordan Mims, you get Jalen Cropper back. They have the stars to do it. They bring a lot of talent back. The coach they got back was the Caleb DeBoer left, but they got Tim DeRuiter, I think, is back as head coach after stepping away due to health reasons. I think they can do this. So they're at home. They have New Year's Six aspirations. Honestly, I think Oregon State winning was honestly more a factor of Boise State just being really bad too. Like, it's really cool. Oregon State pulled out the turnover chainsaw. That was cool. But Hank Bachmeyer, a fourth-year senior, throwing that many picks in the first half and getting pulled. That was bad. That was bad, bad. So I think Oregon State is good. I think they're going to make a bowl game. I think they might even push in the Pac-12 North, depending on what happens with Oregon after that bad showing. But I think Fresno wins this one.
All right. I'm going to be honest, but, you know, because I don't know Boise State as well as, you know, maybe some others, but that was Jake Hayner's, like, worst game last year. They played him at home. He threw three picks. They lost 40-14. Like, that was a terrible game. Mm-hmm. Oregon State just demolished that team. So either Boise State lost everybody, or maybe when you play some real competition, Jake Hayner isn't all that. I don't know.
Well, I mean, he beat UCLA, though.
Yeah, well, you know, UCLA doesn't count.
Fair enough. We'll see what happens. I mean, this could be a year where we have a surprise New Year's Six team, too, because, again...
If it ends up being Fresno, I'm going to be all for it. You're going to hear me being the biggest Jake Hayner fan.
He's awesome. He's a gunslinger. He doesn't have the strongest arm, but he still throws it around. I love it, man. So I think we could have, if UC doesn't do what we think they're, you know, especially after losing to Arkansas, if they don't find the quarterback, if Fresno drops a couple of these games to Pac-12 teams, if Houston loses to Texas Tech or, you know, has some other losses, it could be someone totally random, and I'm on board for it.
Yeah.
All right. Any final thoughts for the week, Kyle?
Not yet. We're still a little too early.
Yeah, me too. We're going to have some good games.
I don't care enough, you know.
Absolutely. We're good games this weekend for week two, and then we have some good games going on for week three as well. So next week we will recap week two, preview week three, talk about any other big news in college football, go over our picks, see how we're doing. So far, so good for both of us, but it could always turn south here soon. Yep. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week.